The most distant star visible to the naked eye would require 1.5 million years to reach, traveling 11 million miles a minute. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about space travel and the time problem. Hello, this is Joe Cruz and the Amazing Facts Broadcast, facts which affect you. In our last broadcast, we studied about the accuracy and authenticity of our incredible Bible. We discovered that even the scientific and historical utterances of the Scriptures have been verified to an uncanny degree. Now today, we're going to place an even closer test by looking into the science of astronomy, as it has been illuminated by a large number of Bible texts. Once again, we find no conflict between what we see in the Bible and what astronomers see as they look through the eyepieces of these mammoth telescopes. Notice here in the book of Hebrews, it says, God made the worlds, Hebrews 1:1. You see, it doesn't say world, but it's plural. God made the worlds. And these words were written over 1,900 years ago when many people believed that there was just one planet, one world. We know now that this is just one tiny planet in one solar system of multitudes of solar systems scattered throughout the universe of God. Now notice what Job, one of the earliest books of the Bible, tells us regarding the visible stars. Lo, he said, these are but the outskirts of his ways, and how small a whisper do we hear of him. Job 26:14. Now speaking of the stars visible to the naked eye, the Bible writer says that these are only the outskirts of God's ways. They're just a faint whisper of the greatness and omnipotence of God. The nebula in Andromeda is the most distant body in the heavens visible to the naked eye. And Fritz Kahn says in his book, Design of the Universe, according to present estimates, the nebula in Andromeda is about 1,500,000 light years away. All right, friends, a light year, as you know, is the distance that light travels in 1 year. And by the way, that's 5,865,696,000,000 miles. And to put it another way, light travels around the world 7 times every second. A light year is the distance that an object would cover in a year, traveling at a speed sufficient to encircle the Earth 7 times a second. Now, this would be a speed of over 11 million miles a minute. We can scarcely conceive of the speed of light. And yet the nebula of Andromeda is 1,500,000 light years away. This gives us some idea of the problem confronting our space experts. They're trying to build vehicles that are capable now of traveling out into space, but the problem now is time. Of course, they have the vehicles built that can survive it, but what about the time? As we build these rockets and spaceships, the problem is that we don't live long enough to get anywhere. It would take generations traveling on these spaceships to get out to even the nearest of these heavenly bodies that men can see through the eyepieces of their telescopes. With the vast extent of the universe in mind, the editorial writer of the Long Beach Press said this, "Does any rational being really believe that these whirling suns and worlds and systems of worlds just happened and that they're going on by blind chance? Who can behold these majesties and sublimities of the heavens without feeling that there must be, that there verily is an omnipotent, omnipresent God who created the universe and who rules it with his almighty hand?" Well, that's the end of the editorial, friends. Now, the psalmist of the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." Psalms 19:1-2. Oh, the tremendous store of knowledge is locked up in the mysteries of the heavens. Enough knowledge to beckon us onward and provide substance for our study throughout all the ages of eternity. But now we turn to the science of physics, the science which has come greatly into the limelight in this atomic age. Notice the words of the psalmist in Psalms 33:6. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Now, I don't claim to be a physicist, friends, but I know just a little bit about some of the experimentation that's been measuring the energy of sound vibrations. Men of science have made tremendous contributions to have faith in the Bible. Now, let me explain what I'm getting at here. The Bible says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." To put it in maybe a little more modern English, the material creation was brought forth through divine energy. The Bible here is speaking of the transforming of energy into matter. And that's exactly what the Bible claims was done in the work of creation. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. In the work of creation, the Creator was not dependent upon pre-existent material. When God made man, he made him of the dust of the ground. But where did the dust come from? God had earlier created the dust. God had prior to that created the carbon and the iron and the other elements that are found in the dust of the earth. You see, God created substance from nothing. He took energy and transformed it into material substance that we can feel with our hands. Albert Einstein, the great mathematician, the mastermind of a past generation, before he died, made this memorable statement. He said, "Atomic fission is simply creation in reverse." And what a tremendous thought that is. In atomic fission, scientists take material substances and by bombarding the atom, they transform it into invisible energy. Einstein said creation was just the opposite of this, taking invisible energy and through the power of God transforming it into material substance. So I say that the modern science of physics helps us to understand the Bible account of creation. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood forth. Men of earlier generations ridiculed the Bible prophecies about a fiery destruction to come on this world. But let's read some text today in the light of the atomic age in which we live. For example, 2 Peter 3, 7 and 10. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, that's the same word in authority now that brought the world into existence, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now really and truly, friends, could we have understood this 30 years ago? The melting of the elements. Why, it was unscientific 30 years ago. But it's right up to date with science today. It's right in harmony with the latest information that modern science has. The elements can melt. And mankind has discovered the secret of melting the elements. Isn't that one of the indications that we've come to the very day of which the Bible prophets have written? We read from Revelation that God is going to intervene before man destroys the earth. 30 years ago, man didn't have the power to destroy this earth, but he does now. Men have unlocked the secret of the atom, and that's why the God of heaven must soon intervene. That's why some tremendous events must soon take place in this world of ours. Otherwise, mankind would actually destroy himself. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. God is giving us time. He's measured out time for us, not to be squandered in some pursuit of pleasure. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to enjoy life. But he wants us also to be preparing for eternity, and to have a sense of eternal values. In the light of the modern atomic age in which we live, friends, consider these words of the Bible. This is in the same chapter of Peter, 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now that's 2 Peter 3:11 and 12. Now this is talking about the atmospheric heaven surrounding this earth that's going to be dissolved. The very elements will melt, it says, with fervent heat. I say, friends, that this is the language of the atomic age, and yet it's found in a book written nearly 2,000 years ago. Surely these are evidences to thinking people that the Bible is not an outdated and outmoded book. I thank God today that if we're willing to probe deeply into the Word of God, we'll find a beautiful harmony. We can find that the God of ancient Israel can be a modern God to us now, a God who can meet the needs of this 20th century that we live in. Jesus said over 1900 years ago, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth," Matthew 28:20. The Christian faith is enduring, friends. It will last as long as life remains on this earth. God said through Isaiah, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Isaiah 41:10. Now this is God's assurance to you and me today. What a thought it is to know that the same power of God that holds the sun in its place will hold you up when you're tempted to be dashed down in defeat and discouragement. What a thrilling thing it is to know that we have the choice of voluntarily placing our lives in the hands of God. The same hand that guides the stars and their appointed course is ready and waiting to guide in your life. He'll bring into your life purpose and beauty and harmony and peace. The poet says, "And while he guides the universe by miracle divine and calls a million stars by name, he's not forgotten mine." Yes, Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Our God, who has given us minds to think, has given us also the privilege of decision. No man has to be a Christian. God never forces anybody. Each one of you listening today is free. It's your decision whether or not you accept the Bible. It's your decision whether you accept the God of the Bible and the Christ of the Bible. God has given us mental equipment, minds to think and reason and study. I believe that when we exercise these mental faculties and when we give God a chance by at least examining His claim as set forth in the Bible, I believe then that thinking men and women are going to choose to accept God as the master of their life. Now, this is the choice that everyone must make, the choice of what's going to be the foremost object in our lives. What are you living for? What's the purpose in your life? Jesus challenged his generation with this penetrating thought. He said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Mark 8:36-37. We live 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years, and then what? That's what we need to think about here and now. Don't wait till you're on the brink of the grave and then begin to be alarmed and concerned. God has given us minds to use for thinking. He's a reasonable God, and He says, "Come now, let us reason together." This is not the appeal of a tyrant, friends, or a dictator. It's the appeal of a reasonable, intelligent, personal being who is the God that you and I worship. And it's my purpose with His help during the Amazing Facts radio time to come to this book in a reasonable, reasoning attitude. God would have us know the facts, and then it's your decision what you do about them. Nobody can take it away from you, that privilege of decision. Well, may I leave this thought with you today. The power that brought the worlds into creation, the Word of God, that same power is in this book, the Bible. And that same power can recreate your life. If your life has been a disappointment, the same creative power of God can come into your life and transform your whole being. In these broadcasts, we're going to learn how to get in touch with this transforming power of God. Well, what about it, friends? Have you really made a study of this wonderful book that can do so much for your life? Millions would hardly be conscious of it if all the world's Bibles simply disappeared overnight. They don't study those things. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.